It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station from Kodiak, Alaska, where it is fair and 24 degrees. Out at the airport, they are showing 81% humidity, calm winds, and 10 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for a 20% chance of snow after 3 p.m. today. Increasing cloudiness for the rest of the day with a high near 36 and west winds to 5, becoming completely calm later. For tonight, snow before midnight, then rain and snow. Low of about 33 overnight tonight with northeast winds to 15. Increasing to 20, could gust as high as 35 tonight. And we might see a little snow accumulation, maybe an inch overnight tonight. For tomorrow, a chance of rain and snow before 3 p.m., then a chance of rain. Coming up on the Midday Report, Kodiak's Tanner Crab fleet continues to stand down. And the Alaska Supreme Court has ruled that an Anchorage Democrat has won her House seat after all.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Many employees at Microsoft are getting some difficult news today. They're among 10,000 people being laid off. NPR's Bobby Allen reports the tech giant says it's preparing for growing economic uncertainty.
Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella told employees, quote, "Some parts of the world are in a recession and other parts are anticipating one." And so Nadella says about 5% of its global workforce will be cut. That adds up to 10,000 employees who will be let go. The news follows other big tech companies like Amazon and Facebook parent company Meta making massive layoffs. The previously announced cuts to office workers at Amazon start today. Like other tech companies pulling back, Nadella also blamed overhiring during the pandemic. Microsoft is expected to keep expanding in some areas, including artificial intelligence, which Nadella says is the next major wave of computing. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Historic inauguration in Maryland today. Wes Moore has been sworn in as the state's first black governor.
It's impossible not to think about our past and our path. We're blocks away from the Annapolis docks, where so many enslaved people arrived in this country against their will, and we are standing in front of a capital that was built by their hands.
Big names were on hand for the momentous occasion, including Oprah Winfrey. The media mogul recalled a particular video chat with Moore 2 years ago.
I could see the CNN screen behind him, and that's the first I knew of the invasion of the Capitol. So then I turned it on. I go, look at what's happening. You want to run in this climate? And he said, exactly. Exactly. So I said, go for it, and I'll be here if you need me.
Maryland's new lieutenant governor, Aruna Miller, also made history today as the first woman of color in the state to serve in that office. Authorities in Ukraine are investigating the cause of a helicopter crash near the capital, Kyiv. All on board the chopper were killed, including the country's interior minister. Emergency services also report casualties on the ground, including at least one child. Here's NPR's Joanna Kakissis.
Ukraine's interior minister, Denis Monastirsky, and his deputies died when the helicopter they were in crashed into a kindergarten in the town of Brovary outside Kyiv. Several children are among the injured. Monastirsky's duties included overseeing law enforcement. The head of the National Police, Ihor Klimenko, has been appointed to serve as acting interior minister. President Volodymyr Zelensky observed a moment of silence during his remarks delivered virtually at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. The mayor of Brovary has declared a 3-day mourning period for the victims of the crash. Joanna Kakissis, NPR News, Lviv.
This is NPR. The Biden administration has announced a new effort to cut down on the overuse of antipsychotic medications in nursing homes. NPR's Selena Simmons Duffin reports that drugs are often misused by facilities seeking to placate residents who may be confused.
Almost 300,000 nursing home residents are given antipsychotic drugs every week without a diagnosis that would warrant their use. That's according to a congressional report from 2020, which noted that those drugs can have serious side effects. So, beginning this month, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the federal agency that oversees nursing homes, will begin auditing nursing homes to determine whether they're accurately representing residents with a schizophrenia diagnosis. Nursing homes that CMS finds to be over-prescribing antipsychotic medications can have their quality rating downgraded. Selena Simmons Duffin, NPR News.
The Church of England is still barring same-sex couples from marrying in its churches. However, for the first time, it says today it will allow blessings for same-sex civil marriages. The Church of England says that includes prayers of dedication or for God's blessing following a civil wedding or registration of a civil partnership. The Church's National Assembly is expected to discuss the change when it convenes next month. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closes down more than 600 points, or 1.8%, to end the day at 33,296. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ also closed down more than 1%. It's NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation. For more than 95 years, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at mott.org. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Kodiak's Tanner Crab fleet is continuing to stand down, saying they still haven't come to an agreement with local processors on a price. Nat Nichols is an area management biologist with the state's Department of Fish and Game. He said via email on Thursday that nearly 200 vessels are registered for this season's Tanner Crab fishery between Kodiak, Chignik, and the South Peninsula, and to the department's knowledge, none of them have set their gear. Nichols called the solidarity, quote, impressive, end quote, and said the department hasn't received any harvest reports from vessels. He also says there haven't been any landings of Tanner Crab since the season began this past Sunday. Permit holders for Kodiak's Tanner Crab fishery met on Monday night and voted to continue negotiations with canneries in Kodiak and out the Aleutian chain. The group is set to meet again on Friday. The soonest the fleet would go fishing is Sunday, a week after the scheduled opener. An Alaska Railroad freight train ran into avalanche debris on the tracks early Tuesday morning, just south of Girdwood. Railroad spokesperson Christy Terry says the impact derailed two locomotives and partially derailed a third.
It's definitely an unusual occurrence to have a train impacted.
Girdwood Fire and Rescue helped evacuate the two crew members in the lead locomotive. They were unharmed. The slide happened overnight before the train arrived, just a few miles south of Girdwood along Turnagain Arm. The train was traveling from Whittier to Anchorage and struck the debris just before 2 a.m. A State Department of Transportation spokesperson said the slide didn't directly impact motorists because it didn't reach the Seward Highway, though there were traffic delays later Tuesday morning when the department conducted related avalanche mitigation work. The freight train itself was still out there as of Tuesday afternoon. The train and its nearly 6,100 tons of freight stretches more than a half mile long. Photos and video from the scene show snow at about train car height stretched across a stretch of railroad tracks about five cars long. Terry says safety assessments and planning are underway and more information will come Wednesday.
Any crews out there will only be during daylight hours just for safety reasons. We'll be able to finalize more of our plans to rerail the locomotives and continue that freight train's movement.
Wendy Wagner, director of the Chugach National Forest Avalanche Center, says weather Monday night made conditions ripe for avalanches across Girdwood, Turnagain Pass, and Eastern Turnagain Arm.
We had a quick-hitting storm that actually put more, double the amount of snow than was expected overnight. So we call that sort of a quick, rapid loading situation, and that came in also with winds. When you get weather that comes in that quick, you can get natural avalanches that just occur because of the weather.
DOT reminds drivers to check 511, the state's traveler information phone number, mobile app, or website, before heading out for the most up-to-date information about highway conditions. A divided Alaska Supreme Court has ruled that an Anchorage Democrat who won a state House seat was a qualified candidate. Earlier this week, Superior Court Judge Herman Walker Jr. issued a decision finding that Democrat Jenny Armstrong met residency requirements and accepting the results of the November election. His decision was appealed by Republican Liz Vasquez, who lost to Armstrong, and four others who joined in challenging Armstrong's win. The Supreme Court issued a brief order shortly after hearing arguments on Friday. The trail for next month's 550-mile-long Yukon Quest Alaska sled dog race has been rerouted off the Yukon River due to unsafe ice conditions. All race checkpoints will now be road accessible, a change that could increase entries before a sign-up deadline that's been extended until Friday. KUAC's Dan Bross has this report.
Organizers had hoped to return the race to a portion of its traditional route on the Yukon River for the first time since 2020, but it's not to be. Yukon Quest Alaska Executive Director Kathy Diamond says people who live along the river between the Circle and Eagle checkpoints report that a 2-inch layer of ice formed last fall when the water level was high.
And then the river receded underneath that. And with that, what we're getting is shelf ice. So you get out on the river, ice that's that high ice, and you may break through.
Diamond says race organizers have decided to stay off the Yukon River. The 550-mile sled dog race will still start in Fairbanks and run to Two Rivers, Mile 101, Central, and Circle. But instead of continuing on to Eagle and Chicken and finishing in Toke, mushers will turn around at Circle.
Bringing them back to Two Rivers. From Two Rivers, they're going to have a four-hour layover there, and then they will head towards North Pole to the flood control project, down to the Tanana River, out to Nenana, a six-hour layover in Nenana for the final stop, and then they'll come back to Fairbanks.
Diamond says the finish is currently slated to be at the Pump House restaurant in Fairbanks. The race routes from North Pole to Nenana and on to Fairbanks largely make use of existing trails. And Diamond notes that the Tanana River ice is reported to be in good condition.
Some of our board members were out on the ice this past weekend, and they said it's like a superhighway out there.
All Quest checkpoints are now on the road system, and Diamond says the entry deadline has been extended until Friday the 20th, as the easier logistics might attract a few more mushers.
Because you don't have to get stuff ready and fly it out, we're hoping that will help some folks go, oh yeah, let's do this.
15 mushers, including defending champion Brent Sass, are so far signed up for the 550. The Yukon Quest Alaska organization is also running two shorter races. All three are scheduled to start Saturday, February 4th on the Chena River in downtown Fairbanks. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
Homer Drawdown is having its first meeting today of the 2023 at Kachemak Bay campus. The organization is part of a national grassroots movement that is working to address the impacts of climate change on a local level. Homer Drawdown's first project in 2020 focused on preserving Homer's unique peatlands. After a series of community discussions last year, Drawdown is now working with the city of Homer on a number of projects to increase people-powered transportation and trail access around town. KBBI's Sean McDermott reports.
Homer Drawdown is working to make the community a safer and more enjoyable place to explore by bike and on foot. This past summer and fall, for instance, volunteers started clearing brush to connect existing trails downtown. Jan Kaiser is Homer's Public Works Director and the city engineer, and she says even though there has been a non-motorized transportation plan on the books in Homer for nearly two decades, progress has at times been slow.
But now there's massive interest as people are seeing opportunities for both health, recreation, ease of access. So that's been very interesting to see that change in culture in the community over time.
Kaiser says with growing support for pedestrian infrastructure, new plans are taking shape. The city is focusing on projects that can have an immediate impact from 1 year to the next. New sidewalks along Ben Walters and up to the Senior Citizen Center are two priorities. Along with Homer Drawdown, other community organizations, like Homer Trails Alliance, are working outside of the downtown area to make it easier to step onto a trail. Kaiser says the city is excited to be collaborating with these groups to connect and maintain existing trails and to create new ones.
We really appreciate and do not take for granted the help that these organizations bring to us.
Julie Engebretson is Homer's Economic Development Manager and has worked with the city for 20 years. She says whether you want to get your hands dirty or share a public comment during the planning process, community involvement is crucial.
Homers, we have great ideas and great involved citizenry and great planning documents, but we've had a harder time actually executing those plans and getting the trails constructed.
Expense is one problem, but there are other hurdles too. Engebretson says high turnover at Alaska's Department of Transportation has made it more difficult to build relationships to support long-term projects. And trying to adapt existing roads to add things like bike lanes can get complicated quickly, too. Still, some solutions are more straightforward. Discussions with commercial truckers, pedestrians, and cyclists last fall, for example, all called for a more visible way for people to cross Pioneer Avenue. Engebretson hopes that with state DOT approval and funding, the city will be able to install a crosswalk with a flashing light at the intersection of Pioneer and Svedland.
So we have more common goals across our community than maybe we realized before we started this project.
Dale Banks, owner of Loopy Lupin Distribution and an organizer with Homer Drawdown, says educational outreach can also help make the city safer and more accessible. For example, bicyclists often have to venture outside of designated bike lanes, so Drawdown is working to help drivers and cyclists learn how to share the road. One big win for bikers that Drawdown is working toward is a new park and bike lot on the East End bike path, which would enable people to leave their cars at McClay Road and cycle into town. Banks says these are just a few of the ways that Drawdown is working to chip away at carbon emissions.
These projects, although they are ostensibly designed to reduce CO2 in the atmosphere, they're really community projects that will make this place a better place to live for everybody.
Satchel Pandolfino, who is the Lower Inlet organizer with Cook Inlet Keeper and a Drawdown committee member, says coming to the first monthly meeting of the year is a great way to get involved.
Yeah, we really just want to empower anyone who's particularly passionate about any non-motorized transportation project to get connected with other people who are also excited about that project.
Pandolfino says she's excited that many of the longer-term infrastructure ideas that Drawdown volunteers are working on align so well with the city's goals. Homer is currently revamping its master transportation plan, which is expected to be available for public comment in March.
A lot of the projects that we talk about are more long-term, but they're like getting on the to-do list, which is really exciting.
Working with Drawdown to make Homer a more enjoyable place to walk and bike is a way to build a more vibrant and healthy community, as well as reducing carbon emissions, she adds.
Definitely been a source of hope and connection when the last few years have been kind of dark and isolating.
Reporting in Homer, I'm Sean McDermott.
The Alaska Legislature convened for a new session yesterday. With a bipartisan coalition controlling the Senate for the first time in over a decade, a divided House struggling to organize for the third straight term, and a newly elected Republican governor who said he's interested in working with lawmakers and problem-solving. There's a large freshman class and a list of familiar challenges. Those include dwindling savings and oil prices well below the heights reached last year. There are unresolved questions, too, about what size the dividend should be and Alaska's nest egg oil wealth fund, the Alaska Permanent Fund. For years, lawmakers have said resolution is needed on the dividend so that they can turn greater focus to other issues affecting the state. Trying to find agreement on that dividend is a priority for incoming Senate President Gary Stevens, who is part of a 17-member caucus of 9 Democrats and 8 Republicans in the 20-person Senate.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
The holiday shopping season ended in a whimper. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Minute. The Commerce Department says retail sales, a measure of consumer spending, fell by 1.1% in December. That covers mostly goods and is not adjusted for price changes. Data for November was revised lower to show a 1% drop. And the Labor Department's producer price index declined by 0.5% in December. This measure of wholesale prices can indicate what consumers will pay in the near future. Much of the decline was attributed to falling energy and food prices. New analysis finds that imposing a global minimum corporate tax of 15% will eventually net an additional $250 billion in tax revenue for participating countries. That includes the U.S. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by JLL, a leader in commercial real estate.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 18th day of January, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 9:37. It will set again at 5:03. That will give us 7 hours and 26 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 3 minutes and 32 seconds compared to yesterday. A record high for this date was 46 degrees set in 1930 and then again in 2014, and a record low was 3 degrees set in 1934. It is currently 24 degrees in Kodiak under fair skies. We have calm winds and 81% humidity out at the airport, and they are reporting 10 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for a 20% chance of snow this afternoon after 4 p.m. mostly. Increasing clouds as the night goes on with a high near 36 today. West winds to 5 becoming calm. Snow is likely tonight, but until 1 a.m. followed by rain and snow. Low around 33 tonight, east winds to 10, increasing to 20, could gust as high as 35 tonight. And rain and snow tomorrow before 4 p.m., then a chance of rain. High near 40 tomorrow with northeast winds to 20, becoming light and variable in the afternoon, but could gust as high as 30 tomorrow. Looking at our local tides, we have an outgoing tide. Our next low tide will be at 5:35 this afternoon here on the east side, then be -0.2, followed by a high tide at 12:18 a.m. just after midnight of 6.2 feet. Over on the west side, your low tide will happen at 6:02 p.m. and be -0.7, and your high tide will be at 12:31 a.m. and be 11.1 feet in Larsen Bay. Mariners, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. Small craft advisory through Thursday. Southwest 20 becoming southeast 25 tomorrow afternoon, or this afternoon. Seas to 9 feet. For tonight, east 30 diminishing to 20 knots after midnight, seas 10 feet. And for tomorrow, south 20, seas 10 feet, building to 16 feet in the afternoon. For Thursday night, they're calling for southwest 25 and seas to 16 feet. And for Friday, west winds to 35 knots, seas to 14 feet on the east side. Over in the Chillicothe Strait, gale warning tonight and Thursday. For today, southwest 20 should turn to northeast 15 this afternoon, seas to 4 feet. For tonight, northeast 25 in the evening, increasing to 35, seas 6 feet in the evening, building to 9 feet. And for tomorrow, northeast 35, diminishing to 25 knots in the afternoon, seas to 9 feet. For Thursday night in the Chillicothe, north 25, seas to 6 feet. And for Friday, west 30, seas to 5 feet. Things to do at the public library include their famous Lego Club. That's happening at 3:30 p.m. this afternoon. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. Tomorrow at 10:30 a.m., the library hosts a Lap-Sit story time for babies 0 to 3 and their adults. Join volunteer Abby Hanna to share a story and a song with some quality time to play and socialize. That's tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Tomorrow at 3 p.m. is the library's next chess club meeting. Drop in to learn, practice, or sharpen your skills in a cozy, friendly environment. No experience is necessary, and it's open to all ages. And remember, the library hours are now Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. For more information, contact the Kodiak Public Library at 486-8686. Today is a big day for meetings here in the Kodiak Island Borough. At 5:15 p.m. tonight, the Solid Waste Advisory Board will be having their regular meeting. That's over at the Kodiak Fisheries Research Center on Near Island. Again, that's 5:15 p.m. The Planning and Zoning Commission will be having their regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. tonight. And the Assembly and the City Council will be having a joint work session. That's happening in the library's multipurpose room, also at 6:30. Tomorrow, the Borough Assembly will be having a regular meeting. That's happening in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. And on Wednesday, January 25th, the Solid Waste Advisory Board meeting that was to be held has been canceled. But on Thursday, January 26th, the Assembly will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. For the Assembly's next regular meeting, that's tomorrow at 6:30, included on the agenda are a public hearing, amending an ordinance, amending budgets and appropriations to account for the additional school bond debt reimbursement payments received from the state of Alaska, confirmation of mayoral and Assembly appointments, discussion of negotiating position in an executive session for a lease on 717 East Razanoff Avenue. Also, there are a number of vacancies in the following boards, commissions, and committees. They include the Architectural and Engineering Review Board, 3 seats vacant there. The Board of Equalization, they have 2 seats vacant. The Bayview Service Area Board has a vacant seat. The Mission Lake Tidegate Service Area Board also has a vacant seat. The Menashka Bay Road Service Area Board has 4 vacant seats. That's also true of the Parks and Recreation Committee. They need 4 seats to be filled. The Planning and Zoning Commission has 1 seat to fill. The Women's Bay Service Area Board has 2 seats to fill. And the Solid Waste Advisory Board is looking for 3 people to fill seats. Kodiak Hospital Auxiliary will be holding their next monthly meeting this Saturday, January 21st. From 10 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. in the Pyramid Room at the Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center. All are welcome. Again, that's this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 11:30 in the Pyramid Room at the Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center. We have just been notified that 3 seats are up for election for the Kodiak Electric Association's Board of Directors. The deadline for filing petitions is March 15th. 3 seats on the Board of Directors include the board consists of 9 elected voting directors and 1 United States Coast Guard appointed non-voting liaison. This year, the seats currently held by directors Ron Acaregua, Tyler Cornelis, and Ben Milstein are up for election. All 3 seats are for 3-year terms. KEA members locally elect KEA's directors. Candidate petition packets are available by contacting the KEA office. To be an eligible candidate, you must be a member of KEA. Completed candidate petition packets must be delivered by 5 p.m. on Wednesday, March 15th, to the KEA office. That's at 1614 Mill Bay Road. And the notice of annual membership meeting, annual report, and ballots will be mailed to members of KEA on Thursday, March 30th. Completed ballots must be returned by mail in the envelope that is provided with the notice of the meeting and must be received by Friday, April 21st. All voting will be done by mail. And the results of the ballots will be announced at KEA's annual membership meeting. That will happen Monday, April 24th at 7 p.m. KMXT's new 2023 calendars are still available here at the station. If you haven't picked yours up and are a current member, come on and get one. Additional copies can be had for a mere $15. and non-members can pick up a copy for $20. They are very beautiful calendars. If you're looking for a calendar to hang above your desk, highly suggested. And out at the Kodiak College, they are offering classes, including Drawing Without Perfection, that goes on from January 28th to February 18th. The instructor is Bonnie Dillard. Cost is only $110. It's a beginning to intermediate drawing workshop that will pull from the Drawing on the Right Side of Your Brain book by Betty Edwards, with an emphasis on intuitive drawing that focuses more on the act of drawing as observation as opposed to picture-perfect images. And you'll work from life when possible, from photos when necessary. This workshop offers ample time for practice. And that's going on again from January 28th to February 18th, four Saturdays, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. If you need more information about this class, visit the Kodiak College website, where they also have lots of other great information.
It's a tough time, but each of us can make a difference in the lives of Alaskans. All you have to do is give via Pick, Click, Give by supporting Alaska's nonprofits when you apply for your PFD. You aren't just donating. You're giving more opportunity, more hope, more chances. You're changing the lives of Alaskans with the click of a button. Don't forget to Pick, Click, Give when you fill out your PFD application this year.